I've got only a few verses to read out of Psalm 80. A few in Matthew 28 and one back in Psalm 19. So when we leave here, just remember we're coming back to the Psalms. Psalm 80. And as usual, I've struggled with the title. How do I label this? And I think I've settled down on salvation accomplished by the strong man. And yet that has a wrong sense when you're talking to the general public. A lot of times even the Lord's children here. But I think you'll understand why I said the title is a little misleading. And yet our Lord made his son strong. And it was only in that your salvation was purchased, paid for. Every debt that you owe to God was paid in full on Calvary. He doesn't have to come back and finish up the work. It was finished. And that gives religious people a license. Well, if my sins are already paid for, then I can do what I want to. Paul said, shall I continue in sin that grace might abound? And his answer was, God forbid. I don't believe there's a true child of God anywhere that would use or hunt a license to sin. And yet, when you do, when we do, when you're down, as you've heard, look to Jesus. He's our only hope. So salvation accomplished by the strong man. I'll only read from verse 15 down through 19, five verses here. But it'd be a good psalm for you to read before the day is over. You being there, let us join hearts as we approach our great God through his dear Son. Our Father, we bow to give thanks for that we know, and it is so little, of Christ our Lord. We'll never know the depth to which he sank. We'll never know the load from the judgment hall to the cross and all the agony. So all we can do is just bow and give thanks, plead with you for extended mercy to us that our lives might be to thy glory. And that in some small way, Christ our Lord might be magnified in our lives. Help these that have gathered and provide for those that could not be with us. and others there that are looking to hear from Thee, O God. Give help to the hearer and to the preacher, all to the glory of Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Psalm 80, beginning with verse 15. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself, it is burned with fire. It is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. This is where I'm drawing the text this morning. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. Now, some of the old writers thought that this psalm might have reference to a king, whether it be David or one that followed him. But I never like to stop there, even if that's what the psalmist had in mind. I like to go on further and remember that the psalm speaks of Christ throughout, and that when Christ was walking with the two disciples that had turned away from Jerusalem because all hope was gone, He joined Himself to them. And then He opened their understanding as He opened the Scriptures, beginning with Moses, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, expounding unto them all things concerning Himself. So the book is about the Lord Jesus. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. First of all, it begins here with a vineyard. That which God planted, that which the one on His right hand hath planted. All things created by the Lord Jesus, for Him and unto Him belong all things. So He spoke, and our world and worlds were formed. Then when He made this whole round ball of rock, clay, and water, He brought about every plant that would be beneficial to mankind, would serve the animals that he would create, just by speaking. He said, and the Lord planted a garden. And those that have gardens usually have a lot of joy, just delight in working them, and working them for what they will get from them. But it's just a joy to see things grow and fruit produced. The Lord planted a garden there. I said three places. Turn with me over four books from where you are to Isaiah Isaiah 5. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, gathered the stones, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Our Lord, Matthew 21 and a couple of other places, spoke about a householder that planted a vineyard. And he did this, he did the same thing, he fenced it, prepared it by getting everything cleared out, built a fence around it, and if he had an orchard there, then he would set up a wine press to get the juice of the grapes that cheereth both the heart of man and of God. Take that in the spiritual sense, folks. So our Lord, In the song, I am my beloved, he's mine, and I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. You know how our Lord loved that garden there, and finally where all of his pain really began. The vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch. The days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And our old translators capitalized the B in branch because they knew that is Christ, the branch that will produce fruit for his Father. And then from that branch, you call his name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Zechariah mentioned the branch. There, every letter in that word is capitalized. Zechariah 3, verse 8. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. So you know that branch here runs throughout Scripture, even getting into the New Testament there. And it is clear to us who the branch is. Now, verse 17 is where I want you to concentrate with me, Lord helping. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. A right hand is considered one of strength. Many of your tools are made specifically, or just in general, for right-handed people. I remember the first power saw that my dad got. I remember him filing it and working on it, and he said, this world's not made for a left-handed man. But I think they may have improved that. Sure was glad to see him get that, because hear him talk about it, I didn't pull that cross cut right. So took a lot of work off me. Left-handed person, handicapped. But I do remind you that there were 700 men left-handed in the Judges that could sling a stone at a hair's breadth. Now that's pretty precise. But remember, David did that. One of those smooth stones he took out of that running water, and at a hair's breadth he slew the giant. So the right hand. But it's also one of honor. The Lord said unto my Lord, David said, it's quoted in the New Testament again, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. You're honored, my son. Sit there till I make all thine enemies thy footstool. One of honor, one of strength. But the Lord Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better for you to go through life maimed and lame than it is to let one of your members cast you into hell. Now, he wasn't talking about a literal knife and saw to cut the bone in two, but they knew what he was speaking about. If it offends you, I don't care what honor you place, what strength you place on that right hand, if sin becomes that dear to you, you get rid of it. Solomon placed his mother on his right hand, she sitting beside him there on the throne. Now when Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob, was dying, in her parting breath and words in giving birth, she named that boy Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. And when she passed into the other realm of life, Jacob took the boy and he changed his name. I'm not going to have that boy going through life knowing that his mother died bringing him into the world. So he changed his name to Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And Benjamin, especially after Joseph was killed in Jacob's mind, Judah, his other brother down there pleading, because they found the cup in Benjamin's sack, and Judah was pleading, let me stay. Let that lad go back. If you don't, it's going to kill my father, because his life is bound in the life of the child. Only one he's got left of the wife that he loved. Right hand, one of honor. And the king shall say to those on his right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You find that in Matthew 25. Two times it is said here that the branch was made strong for thyself. Christ, in every attribute, was equal with God. If God had all power, Christ had all power. If God was infinite in his wisdom, Christ was infinite in his wisdom. His strength, his power, his knowledge, his wisdom, everything about God, God being infinite, all his attributes are such. His mercy, infinite. His mercy continues forever. How long do you think, since his mercy will be enduring forever, do you think when you get in heaven, if we make it there, how long do you think that mercy will be bestowed upon you throughout all eternity? We'll always appreciate the mercy of God. So God made the branch, which I hope that I pointed out that is Christ, referring to Christ, made that branch strong. But he's equal with the Father. How can God make him who had all power any more powerful than he is? The man at God's right hand, the strength of God, Christ. How can that be that this one becomes stronger? I'm sure you know by now the answer to that question. Christ referred to himself in John 15, I am the vine. And here's talking about the branch, but he is both. I am the vine, you're the branches. A vine is one of the weakest plants that there is, and to get it up off the ground where it's not running on the ground, you have to stake it, trellis or whatever, to support its weak shoots. I am the vine. Now let thy right hand be upon the sun. Make thy branch strong. Let thy hand be upon the Son of Man. Because he did not have strength. He came into the world just as you did. Somebody had to take care of you, feed you, nourish you, provide for you. If you got any place, you had to be carried. And Mary and Joseph looked after Jesus. Equal with the Father in every aspect, and yet he lies there in that manger, an infant, totally dependent upon the care and the provisions of those in whose family he was born. They looked after him. Christ made in weakness, made like unto his brethren, but now it's going to take strength to withstand Satan and his onslaught from birth till he finally sees him put to death. He thinks, I have the victory now. Not only to withstand the assaults and onslaught of demons, but of religious folks. And their hatred of him became so great that nothing would do except put him to death. He got through with the parable, and they perceived that he had spoken that against them. And they looked for ways wherein they could kill him, destroy him, but they knew, we can't right now, because the people, he's in favor with the people. Now he who made all things is the weakest being in all creation. But as a human being, he began to grow. And he didn't need mother to carry him when he got someplace. He could now walk himself, could sit up at the table and feed himself, and derive strength and energy from food the same way that you do. Then his upper body began to develop, working in that carpenter shop. But he never gained back infinite power, never, until he rose from the grave. Everything he did was accomplished by God making that man, though the one of his right hand, though a vine that's got to support many, many members, God making him strong. In Matthew 28, verse 16, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Since he became a babe, this was the first time that what he was and all that he had before is now back in this Son of Man. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, God could have sent angels to preach to you, but they could not have compassion on you. But God sent his Son, and there's nothing, not one thing that you can go through in which Christ does not understand. He could not be a faithful high priest if he had not been made man and made in the weakness of man. All power is given unto me. And here's the commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Only time I was with you these past 3 years was when you were close by me. Now I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Before, to get to a place, physical strength was exerted to perform a task, work, physical strength. In healing, in raising the dead, in feeding the thousands on two separate occasions, all of that was done with a man, by a man, simply exercising faith in his God. He never performed a miracle as God. Children, what? It would have been no problem to him whatsoever for him to exert power and say to the wind, stop. Though he did that, yet he was doing it by faith in God's power. And when virtue went out of him, when he felt that, he was feeling as a human being, but he knew, someone has received virtue from me this day. And he could say unto her, Woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. And to others, knowing, I got to pay for them, dear lady. And they were walking, and they come upon a funeral procession. And a mother's only son is in that coffin that they're carrying to the cemetery. And Jesus had them stop. And he said, Arise, son. And that dead boy got up and went home with his mother. Now, it's not going to be long after that till there's going to be another dead boy that's going home to his mother and waiting for all his other that make up his bride would all show his mother as a man. The difficult thing to me, you have no emotions that he did not have. There's nothing that can come your way that our Lord, your Lord, did not experience. And Satan set on killing him from an infant, raising up the wrath in Herod, killing all children 2 years and younger. Make sure we got him. Religion looked for ways just to destroy him. And yet, our Lord never rendered evil for evil. Always was turning the other cheek. Men would curse, and oft he would bless. And what about all you that claim to be in him? Now, I can feel better if I can vent my frustration. But that's not right for me to do that. I have done it many, many times. I feel better when I have used a sharp tongue to put others in their place. Wrong again. Our Lord knew that. They would curse, he would bless. They feel with hatred, he had a heart for love. And the Son of Man left his Father's house. There he was worshipped by all that heavenly host. All of them, seraphims, cherubims, angels. But down here, he had no one. Now, you might have felt loneliness. But it didn't last for 33 years. For 33 years, he had no one that could relate to him as to share intimate fellowship with. So he had to get away from everybody, even the closest of his disciples. And he'd have to get out in the open and spend all night speaking with his Father, listening to his Father. And we're right the opposite. You know what it is to have a friend, if you've got one. I've always heard you were a wealthy being, one true friend that understands and can relate to you wherever you are. But the Son of God's right hand, one of honor, one of strength. Down here, the only strength he has is the strength obtained by the nutrients that he takes into his body. Down here he's got no one that understands, no one that he can sit down with and tell them everything within. All his life, he was in the crosshair of the great enemy. From the time he became conscious of who he was, at least 12, we know that for a fact. Got to be about my father's business. From that time only, there were two great titans headed to one final field of battle. And as that came near, and the nearer it came, the weaker Jesus was, left without strength. Many folks had died just from the beating, lashing with the cat of nine tails, that old Roman whip. Many people had died there. And this one being hated so, you can imagine that the strength of the one using the whip added a little to it. And he was so without strength in himself that they thought, we better help him, because their hatred against him was to such a degree that they didn't intend on him dying apart from that last final suffering of the cross. And they grabbed one and they put it on his shoulders, and the Lord Jesus, with what little strength he has, makes it up Calvary's hill. And ever since judgment was pronounced on the serpent there in the garden, he's been watching and using all his powers of this lower world to destroy him. Now, Peter described your adversary, that one that was Christ's adversary. And he said, don't you know that he, like a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour? And Eve births that first son. And she calls him a man gotten from the Lord. And the wise serpent knew, well, if I just kill him, have his younger brother kill him, then another will come along after him. But if I tempt him to murder, then what becomes of her hope of a man being their salvation? So Cain becomes a murderer. Herod kills all the young, being under the influence of the god of this world. Now go back with me to the last place this morning, to the 19th Psalm. We've been here time and again. Psalm 19, only one verse, and that's 5. He's talking about the sun, the natural sun. Verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. There's not one thing man can do to lessen the energy of the sun. Not one thing. But he said that bridegroom, he's like a strong man, rejoicing as a strong man headed out to the battle. But this man, Jesus, has no strength in himself, which meant that all power must come from one greater than the Son of Man. And God provided him strength on a daily basis as he needed it. Same with you. You don't get any of tomorrow's grace today. This is the day the Lord hath made. And this is the day that you're to look for strength in it. And never make plans for tomorrow as far as, well, I'll read more tomorrow. I'm going to let it go today. Today's the grace has been given. Don't waste it, spend it, get rid of it foolishly. So God made that man, that branch, that vine, that son that had emptied himself, he made him strong to accomplish the purpose for which he came. Now you know 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in wickedness. You know who's the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world has blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine. Devil's got them all blinded. The light of the world. Let me say, we had to be given eyes to see and ears to hear what saith this man, the Son of Man. Now, this whole world here below belongs to the strong man. It doesn't belong to any political systems. It is not under, it's not ruled by some dictator. Are some of them combining together to destroy? It's in the hands of the wicked one. This is the strong man's house here below. And our Lord said, no man can enter the strong man's house and spoil his goods except first he bind the strong man. And when he got that, when he's got that strong man bound, then he can spoil his goods. And Christ had to do that for you as an individual. He had to destroy the works of the devil, give you eyes to see and ears to hear, and the Spirit of God began to make Jesus Christ relevant in your life. This was all accomplished by a man emptied of himself and serving God in the strength that the Lord gave him for that day. And he had to enter this old world here below and into the strong man's house and bind him, for him to set the captives free. I am fully convinced. I thought years ago we might be in that little season where Satan has been loosed. I thought that. And now I'm very confident that Satan has once again been loosed in this old world. The gospel is having no effect. If you gain anything from me or anyone else, it's because God gave it to you. There will be a few saved in this time. But he's God of this lower world. He's the Lord of this lower world. And nation after nation have succumbed to his directives and influence over them. We all or in that season when Satan once again has had his power restored to go out and to deceive the whole world. And for thyself and the work he came to accomplish, Jesus was made strong. All power, the one called your Lord and called your Redeemer, this is his final act. He had power to lay it down, that is his life. And he had power to raise it, take it again. As a Son of Man, that's his last act. I'll die when it's my time to die. You think the whip, you think the spikes and the thorns, you think the blood flowing, you think this has taken my life? It had worked its part. But Jesus said, no man takes it from me. I lay it down on myself and I have power to take it again. And then he says, behold, I and the children which God hath given me in Hebrews 2:13. I've lost none of them. I'm reigning on the throne of glory. Satan might be in charge of this lower world. Darkness may be coming upon the face of the earth once again, but I'm still in charge. And though Satan is free, all I've done was just lengthen his chain a little bit where he could move about all over this place. I've lost none. All that he came to redeem will be with him in glory. And one other certainty, we all will have the identity like unto the Son of Man. We learn to forgive. We learn not to take everything personal. We learn kindness, goodness, forgiveness. Everything that Jesus was here and still forever will be as a Son of Man reigning now, we are being shaped in that image and in his likeness. Now, who is there in the family of God as you learn more and more about what your salvation cost and what it meant to this Savior? Why is it that we are not longing for greater devotedness and follower of the Lamb of God? Folk, I have literally, in person, met those whose dedication to a dead God would make professing Christians ashamed of themselves if the two were stuck side by side. And there are a lot of them in this world, and they put us to shame. So the lowly Lamb of God was made strong by his God to accomplish the very desire of his heart. Get the elect. Get the bride. Get the children home. Paul said in Romans 8, for what the law could not do because of the weakness of our flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not sin, in the likeness of sinful flesh. So everything that Jesus did, weak in the flesh, God strengthened him. God made him strong. And God sent an angel to strengthen him as his strength was departing. Go back and find, it's in the Judges. I can't remember the chapter of Gideon. And the angel comes and is talking with Gideon. And said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Before Gideon had been hiding to beat out enough wheat to have a little bread. There wasn't any valor in Gideon, no strength. And Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this befallen us? And the angel said, you go in this thy might. Your strength and might to accomplish a purpose, to obey God, is in weakness. Everything we try to do in the power of the flesh, go pray. You won't last 5 minutes. If the Spirit does not visit with you and enable you to. The mighty man of valor, coward. No, you knowing your condition, the angel is saying to him, you being aware, that's your strength. And now you can go in that weakness to become a mighty warrior, valor. Well, you think Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. Why do you think he took delight in that, pleasure in that? For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what folks trying to do today? Serve the Lord in their own natural strength. Build churches in their own natural strength. Got some friends that had a problem with the pastor who writes out his prayers on Saturday night and sends it to those that will be reading the scripture and everything, so all three of them can be along the same line of thoughts. And you can't find anywhere in Scripture such a thing as that. He said, well, the Psalms are prayers, and they were written out. The Psalms are songs. Now, there's one or two prayers in them, but we've eliminated the Spirit of God, even in praying, public praying. In building the church and making disciples and getting folks saved. But if we get back to this one, God made strong. And you become weak in self. It's not a place you'll like, none of us like. But if you get there, you'll begin to find out about the strength of God. Our Father, take the word today. Seal it to the hearts of these thy children and others that might receive it. All for the glory of Christ our Lord. And enable us in our weak times, no strength to perform that we should do, need to do for thee, to know that thou art made strong through our weakness, because people don't see and hear us but thee. Help these as they go their way. Keep them, protect, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.